and our blessing. But thank you, Father Almighty, Father of God. Father, we know we can have no without you. We are you. Therefore, our worship will not be meaningful except your death. We ask, O Lord, that you speak to us and enable us to listen and give our lives according to your word. Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The theme for our reflection today is Lord of the Lord your God. Lord of the Lord your God. And our Bible passage is taken from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 22, 34 to 46. Matthew 22, 34 to 46. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment, and a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend on the law and the prophets. And while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them a question. What do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he? They said to him, the son of David. He said to them, how is it then that David, the Spirit, calls him Lord, saying, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet. If then David calls him Lord, how is he his son? And no one was able to answer him a word. For from that day, anyone dared to ask him any more questions. So from this passage, we're going to our text from verses 37 to 38. Matthew 22, 37 to 38. To address the theme, Lord of the Lord your God. And the text reads, and Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. That's what Jesus responded. This response by Jesus, as we all heard from the passage, came out of the question asked by a Pharisee who was a lawyer. A scribe, many places in the Bible, they are called scribes, to test Jesus. So the question came to him as a test, not that it came from their heart and that they want to know, that they want to prove that Jesus did. So they tried to test him, asking him, teacher, what is the great commandment in the law? Commandments, and they want to find out of the 10 the great commandment. As we know, Pharisees and priests that flourished during the first century BC and first century AD. and are not chiefly for strict observance of religious ceremonies and practices, adherence to moral laws and traditions, and belief in an afterlife and the coming of the Messiah. They present themselves as people who are so committed to the worship of God. Jesus described as external. Something external, not from their heart. Then the Sadducees is another sect consisting mainly of priests and aristocrats that flourished within the same period, 1st century BC and 1st century AD. And the difference between them and the Pharisees is that the one by a literal interpretation of the Bible, rejection of oral laws and traditions, and denial of an afterlife, angels, and the coming of the Messiah. So, almost opposite, they were the rich society that have traveled outside and have embraced other cultures. So, they don't hold firm the teaching of the scripture. While the Pharisees were the people who were at home, who could stand the teaching of the Old Testament. It's superficial. They love external practice manifestation. When you see them, they look very religious. But when you see their conduct, their action, what they claim to be practicing, or what they claim to be. So these are two different sects. So these sects opposed Jesus during his earthly ministry for various reasons. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, none of them accepted Jesus. The Pharisees opposed Jesus because they believed he did not follow their oral laws and tradition of the elders. For instance, the Pharisees don't believe that you can heal someone on the Sabbath day. Jesus did that. They said you must wash your hands thoroughly before you eat or enter the house. Jesus decided to practice that. They said you cannot do anything at all, do any work on Sabbath days. Jesus decided to walk on. So the Pharisees opposed Jesus. The Sadducees didn't even believe in the life after death. As a result, there was no need for a Messiah. So, because of that, they don't also believe in Jesus. Because they said they don't believe whatever he was practicing, whatever he's doing. So, these two groups tried to challenge Jesus in various ways. And their opposition to Jesus led to different responses of Jesus. That clarify to us the proper way to worship God. From their own position, learn more on how to worship God. So, realize that Jesus says, in the question they ask him, which is the greatest commandment out of the ten? And Jesus said, you shall love the Lord and God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And Jesus emphasized, this is the greatest and the first commandment. Love your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This declaration by Jesus of the commandments. That is what all the commandments are all about. Love of God. And this is all we are meant to do in this life. Love of God. He said this is the greatest, the first and the greatest commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And it is followed by the second part of it. in Matthew 22, 39 to 40, it says, "And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the laws and prophets." So what Jesus is making clear to us is that your commitment in this life should be on the love of God. And when you do that, do it with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. And then when you love yourself, to love your neighbor. Otherwise, it's just emphasizing that you need to love yourself. You must love yourself. And that love you have for yourself, share with your neighbor. So love yourself and love your neighbor. Because you must love your neighbor in the way you love yourself. So what is love in this context? Looking at this context, love can be seen as God's priority lifestyle. God's priority lifestyle. Your lifestyle places God on top of everything. Everything of your life reflects God. Kingdom advancement lifestyle will be your way of life. How to advance the kingdom of God. That's why in the modern prayer that Jesus gave us, he said, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven." Commitment to the will of God. Lifestyle that reflects everything of God. The whole of your heart, the whole of your soul, the entirety of your being, invested. God first in everything. So Matthew 6:33 says, "Then seek first his kingdom and righteousness, and every other thing shall be yours as well." Commitment to God. Everything should be from God. That's why he created us. So Jesus says, "Seek him first." All your strength, put all your energy in the things of God. Every other thing. David said in Psalms, "From his childhood to his old age, never saw anyone that trusted God that knows his ability." God can never fail no matter what. God will always stand. So, love the Lord your God. Everything that you are made of. So the love for God must involve in all your hearts, all your soul, and all your mind. Invest every substance in you in the love of God. Romans chapter 8, verse 28-30 says, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good." The Bible in God says, all things work together for good for everybody. What the Bible says is, all things work together for good for those who love God. So if you love God, everything that is happening in your life will work for your own good, no matter how bad it may be, no matter how negative it may be. Once the love of God is at the center of your life, everything happening to you will turn around to be for your good. Even when the enemy means the worst for you, God will turn it around for your own good. Like in the case of Joseph, was ended up in a dungeon for his destruction, and he turned around for his good. So if you love God, show your love of God in everything you are doing, no matter what the situation may be, turn around you are in the fire, you may think the fire will burn you. Because you love God, God will protect you. That's why Shepherd, Bishop, and Abednego express their love for God by telling him in the local basin. Our God is able to save us from your hand. But even if he doesn't save us, did he not tell you, O King, that you will not bow down to your God? They will not go with their entire life. And when they were put in the fire, they did not abandon him. True or great God, God did not abandon him. Daniel, even when he came, he prayed the prayers that nobody should worship any other God except the king. Daniel did not forsake his love for God. He stood his ground with God. And at the last point, God protected him. Stand your ground for God, no matter the situation, God will never abandon you. So he says, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, the Bible says, but as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. No eyes has seen, no ear has heard, no heart of man can imagine what God has prepared for those who love him. And I want to tell you the Lord, my Lord. No eyes has seen, no ear has heard, no heart of man can imagine what God has prepared for you, who love him. Nobody can imagine that. It's so great for the love of God, for your investment of everything in you into the things of God. Never lose. So the love of God has tremendous promises going with it. And also remember that the Bible says, not everyone who says to be one Lord can get them on them. It goes towards the will of my Father who is in heaven. Love the Father. And that is in Matthew. Chapter 7, verse 21. So, who may say the love of God? That's good. But if you love God, what is in part of it? It will be followed by action. God will say to me, Lord, Lord. That's the claim to love the Lord. So, we say, Lord, Lord. He must also do his work. So when you say you love God, that must be washed with your action. And that action will be being committed to the will of God. And the love of God also takes you to the house of God. Takes you to the house of God and others. Makes you to feel joy in the service of God. So the psalmist in Psalm 122, verse 1 says, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. That is what gives you joy in life. If somebody wants to come, let us go to the house of the Lord. You will not be better than that because you love God. It is the love of God that gives you life, that pushes you around, that keeps you awake. Don't you know to please God? And then Psalmist is someone, 1964 says, 7 times a day I praise thee for righteous ordinances. So, this is expression of the love of God. He carried away whatever pleases God. Anything that can please God, don't stop at anything and do it. He carried away anything that pleases God. Whatever can please God. It is the love of God, what we have for God, that will drive your life. Which is the gospel. Then attend to the things of God. Because there is nothing more we can do in this life. There is no way we can pay God for that in Jesus. There is nothing we can give God. Some people may think they can give money to God. You cannot. God owns everything. Silver and gold are his. In Psalm 15, verse 15, God says, there's no sacrifice you can make for me. For everything I did from 13 to 15, everything belongs to me. If I want them, I take them myself. I don't need to tell you. The only way you can express your love for God is by being completely committed to those things that please God. So you must love whatever God loves. How do you express your love for God? Love whatever God loves. If there's anything that God loves, love it. Search for things that God loves and love them. Then you miss him. That's the expression of the love you have for him. And then I can ask the question, what does God love? Matthew 22, verse 39 says, and the second is by this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. That is what God loves. God loves people. God loves those he created. And Jesus says, on these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. So, love God. God is committed to that. Not for people. God's greatest love, what he lost most, is the salvation and preservation of souls. That's what he lost most. God doesn't want anybody to perish. He lost the salvation of souls and the preservation of souls. So much. And then God lost it then. For you to love God, you need to love him too. You need to love the salvation of souls. Preservation of souls. Bring souls and keep them. That's what God loves. So John 3:16 says, therefore, for God so loved the world. So God loves the world. To the point of giving his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. So God loves salvation. God loves the preservation of people. God doesn't want anybody to perish. And in expression of your love for God, do the same thing. Love what God loves. Luke 19:10 says, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. So if we love what God loves, we need to seek and save the lost. Because that's what he came for. Psalm 74:12 says, yet God my King is from of old, working salvation in these other times. From old, all the time, working salvation in these other old. Also, we see this in the work of Jesus in John 4:34, which says, my food is to do the will of him who sent me. To accomplish his work. And that is work of saving souls. That's what Jesus said is his food. And then John 15:16, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, it will be to you. So Jesus chooses to love him for a reason. To pursue the purpose for which he came. To love what God loves. Salvation of souls. And when that is done, it says, whatever you ask the Father in my name. And that's why we praise this earlier in 1 Corinthians 7. What eyes have never seen, what ears have never heard, what we cannot imagine is what God has prepared for you. So if you love him, you cannot imagine what God will do for you. If what you are doing today is noted by God, because you are doing it out of your love for God. And no eyes have seen what God will do for you. No ears have heard. Remember what Jesus said. Because some people may be expecting their reward right now. It may not be. Jesus said, and their master sent his servant to do something. And he comes back and he tells him, oh, come and relax and eat. No. What the master does is the servant will finish something and comes and say, I'm finished. He said, okay, you are doing this one. He comes back and said, I've done it. Go and do the other one. And then at the end of the day, the master will say, good servant. What Jesus was talking about, people giving talents. The person he gave 5 talents. What time and got extra 5? He didn't say, come and relax in the drive. He made the tell us, say, go back at the end, at the harvest time. What eyes have never seen? What ears have never heard? What you yourself have never imagined? What God will give to you for your love. So that is very, very important. And you must be able to say, like St. Paul, Romans 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God for salvation to everyone who has faith. And then, what is it that validates our love for God? What is it that validates our love for God? John 14:15, the Bible says, if you love me, just say this question to me. If you love me, you keep my commandments. You cannot say you love God, but you don't listen to him. I don't think it's if you love me, then Father said in 1 John 2:25, and by this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. Whosoever says I know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar. Don't know him. And the truth is not in him. But whoever gives his word, in him truly, the love of God is perfect. By this we know that we are in him. So if you love God, one of the things that we prove that you love God is that you want to keep your commandments. No matter the circumstances, even under threat, you look. Let me know why, like St. Peter. He said, is it better to obey him or to obey God? So choose God first in everything. If people are begging you to do something and you find out that this will not please God, don't do it. Look for things that will please God. Look for things that God loves. If you love me, you keep my commandments. That's what you break the commandment of God. That is what validates your love for God. And then, God's blessings follow the love of God and absolute obedience to God. Like in Deuteronomy 28:1, the Bible says, and if you faithfully obey the voice of the Lord your God, be careful to do all his commandments that I command you today, the Lord your God will set you above all the nations on earth. Commandments. That's very, very important. Then John 14, 12 to 14 says, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these will he do, because I'm going to the Father. Whatever I ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in his Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Because of your commitment to God. Because God stops you from pursuing things that God loves. And finally, John 14:21 says, whoever has my commandments and keeps them, because when we read the Bible, every time to search and find out what God wants you to do, then do them. And he who loves me is loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself. Keep the commandments of God, his blessings on next. Never let you down. God will never let you down. Pursue the things of God. God will never fail you. You will always be mindful of it. Even if you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, God will never shall fall. God help us and strengthen us, and may his face shine eternally upon us. Hold us in his hands and help us to stand to the ground for and always fix our gaze on him. Rest on God, for we will love for him. Jesus Christ, our Lord.